Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at TriCountyContractingWI.com. So apparently, according to the manager of the space station program, Dana Weagle, she said that they pulled off two crew suitcases that have clothes in them. So no clothes for you, Mr. and Mrs. Astronaut.
Boy, as big of a space geek as I've always been, I guess I've never heard of astronauts bringing luggage on board. Like, just don't they have that
stuff? Maybe a
book,
right? Maybe an iPad.
A couple of suits, you know, a spare suit.
And do I bring the extra pair of pants? I never know what this type of weather. Plus, do I bring the long sleeve?
What if we go out, like, for a fancy dinner? Yeah.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
712 Wisconsin's Morning News. You know, the weather stories we tell are anecdotal. You know, like when we're talking with each other, we talk about the weather amongst ourselves based on our personal experience.
Sure.
Which is both geographically limited, and then we base it off our memories, which are fleeting and unreliable at best, right? So, yeah, I remember, Bob, when I was a kid, there was always snow on Christmas or whatever. And then you go back over the data, like, not really.
Not really.
Yeah, actually. I remember that one. It was 10 feet high. However, if it feels like we have had more rain than usual this spring, you are right, we have.
I keep playing. I don't think the heavy stuff's going to come down for quite a while.
Yeah, it feels like we've had milder temperatures. You're right, we have. Feels like we've had more severe weather. Definitely feel like we've had more hail.
Yeah.
Including tornadoes this spring. You're right. We have had that too. A few weather nuggets from WTMJ meteorologist Craig Copleen that he passed on this morning. This is data for Milwaukee. Milwaukee had the third warmest, third wettest stretch for the period of March through May ever this spring. So number three all time. Normal precipitation, so that includes snow, for those 3 months, 9.5 inches. Want to take a stab at where we're at?
At least
it's more than that.
18?
Yeah, not quite. We're at nearly 16 okay. inches. Average temperature, more than 3.5 degrees warmer for the quarter, coming in at 50.2 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, again, that's average. So you look at, we had a high of 84 degrees on May 12th. That was right. The warmest yep. It was for the period. That averages out with a low of 24 March 21st. Mm-hmm. So in there, it wasn't 50 degrees every day. Obviously, we had our ups and downs. But on average, third warmest for that period. As for tornadoes, unfortunately, none of these twisters reported in our state this year have produced widespread damage. No major injuries or loss of life.
EF0s, EF1s at most.
I think NIS calls them baby tornadoes.
Yeah.
Still a tornado.
Yeah, still a thing.
Right.
Still a thing.
But average for Wisconsin in a year, average number of total tornadoes is 23. You know what we're at this year?
More than that.
23.
Oh, wow.
We're on the number. The record is 62. That was set in 2005. So we're already at average, which means barring the absolute unforeseen, we're going to be a stronger than average tornado season. But here's one more thing from Copleen. Lots of tornadoes by the end of May does not necessarily tell us anything about the number of tornadoes yet to come this year. Spring, historically, Wisconsin's most tornado-iest, yes, I made up that word, season after all. Nevertheless, this will clearly be a year where we turn out to have more tornadoes than average. The only question is how much above average it will be. Feels like it's going to be a lot.
Yeah, it sure does.
Because we really haven't started to cook. I mean, we have spring, but like June is a busy month.
Yeah, the energy
for us.
Hasn't really started to really churn and create havoc.
Scattered afternoon storms today, but the threat of severe weather is low. 59 right now, 7:15 in Milwaukee.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
If you're waking up on a Monday, I don't really want to start this week. It's going to be a long one. Got this and that to do. Here's something to make you feel better, Vince.
Okay, please.
The Milwaukee Brewers are 36-23. They are 7 games up, sitting in first place over the St. Louis Cardinals in a delicious series with the first place Phillies coming up tonight.
Not a bad week we're coming off of, huh?
No, great weekend sweep.
We just destroyed
the White Sox.
Chicago.
Oh, gosh, just, it wasn't
North
easy.
North side, south side took care of it.
Right? Sox aren't very good, but boy, they were scrappy, played aggressively. Pivotal moment, 8th inning of Sunday's victory over the Sox. The Brewers up 1 when the Sox tried to tie the game on a sac fly.
Infield's up, pitch swung on, popped up. Left field, Yelich is coming in. Tagging at third is Pham. Here's the catch from Yelich. The throw to the plates all the way through. The tag. Got him at home. Wow. From the outhouse to the penthouse. And the Brewers end up allowing nothing.
It was huge. The Brewers would go on and tack two more on in the bottom half and basically put the game away. Now, Tommy Pham.
We have to make a note of this. I'm going to write it down now. Pancake, make sure we remember to ask Levering about outhouse, penthouse. What's happening there?
Yeah, at first I thought it was maybe he was dogging Yelich for something like that. Yelich.
I think it was just geographically means it's a long way from here to there.
I think so. I think you might be right. Because I questioned him, like, what's wrong with
that? Begs for more clarity from Levering on that call.
We will dissect
it. Great as it were.
Tommy Pham was the outfielder for the Sox who was out at home. He was on third base, and he was not happy with William Contreras after the tag. Listen to the call on this, NBC Sports Chicago.
Here's the throw to the plate! And he's out. And Contreras is barking at him. Tommy Pham barking back. He's not backing down. He doesn't like that. And now home plate umpire Edwin Jimenez has to hold back Pham.
So I guess that's true. Pham was upset.
Nah, we ain't taking that. We ain't taking that from the Brewers. I don't care how many L's we got this year. We ain't taking that.
Well, you kind of are. And we gave you another L, so I'm not quite sure.
I think he was out and we won.
You were upset, but
you got swept. I think you took it.
The Brewers win 6-3.
Otherwise good, though.
Red Hot Crew heading to Philadelphia tonight, and Willie Adames and William Contreras both will be playing, I'm sure.
Savages.
That's what Pat Murphy calls them both. Our coverage starts at 5:05, first pitch 5:35 right here on WTMJ Radio.
Worth mentioning, Green Bay Packers get OTAs, organized team activities, again this week. Here's the schedule. Today, tomorrow, and Thursday at 1265 Lombardi Avenue. You would expect at some point to hear from the players once again. Head coach Matt LaFleur usually has some availability during the week. And then it's mandatory minicamp coming up later this month.
Nah, we ain't taking that. We ain't taking that from the Brewers. I don't care how many L's we got this year.
Happy Monday!
It's time to look at the week ahead.
What a Monday morning.
Yes, sir, the week ahead. What can you expect in your timeline? What's going to be in the news feed? What's on television in the paper or right here on WTMJ? The week ahead. So here's what we got. Starting tonight, MPS Superintendent Keith Posley's job could be on the line. Special board meeting going to be held tonight, and one of their agenda items is to discuss him. Dismissal, demotion, licensing, or discipline all on the table, apparently, for Mr. Posey.
Yeah, if you're the chief executive of anything, you don't want to see that as a line item on the agenda.
No.
So, also taking public comment tonight for the first time since the full scale of the financial crisis for MPS has come to light.
And that could be
ugly
as well. Yes. The trial of Hunter Biden on felony gun charges set to begin in Delaware. The son of President Joe Biden pleading not guilty. The three crimes in the case, all stemming from special counsel's claim that he was abusing drugs while he purchased and possessed a revolver back in 2018. So that's against federal law. Basically, he's accused of falsely swearing on a form that he was not a drug user when he bought that gun.
Hunter's lawyers could cast doubt on who exactly filled out the form and whether Hunter Biden was even an addict at the time. Jury selection could last up to 5 days. If convicted, Hunter could face up to 25 years in prison. But experts say nonviolent first-time offenders rarely get serious prison time for gun charges.
So another first in U.S. history, that's ABC's Christiane Cordero there. Another first in U.S. history this week with this case. The Justice Department has never charged the child of a sitting president before. For the first time in history, that is happening now. Parade of planets is tonight. Vince, Jupiter will align with Mars and Mercury and Neptune, Saturn and Uranus. So keep your eyes to the sky.
Parade of planets.
All eyes on the parade of planets tonight. The 18th year of Downtown Dining Week here in Milwaukee is underway. Runs through Thursday. We got primaries again tomorrow. Thursday is also a big one. June 6th. Is the 80th anniversary of D-Day. Allied troops landed on the beaches of Normandy to begin the liberation of Europe from Nazi Germany. So supporters celebrated in Atlanta on Sunday as veterans left for France to commemorate the date. Some of these guys...
Can't be a lot of those guys left.
Not a lot of them, and they're getting up there in age.
I'm the luckiest man in the world. I'm 101 years old without an ache or a pain.
Attaboy, Jake Larson. And we are the luckiest people because of you, sir. So they're heading out there. President Biden going to be in France, too, this week to commemorate that anniversary. UW-Whitewater going to welcome Special Olympics Wisconsin. It's the Summer Games. Kicks off on Thursday. So that's a big event. You know that
huge
one.
Huge event. Been to so many of those. I was on the board of directors for many years at Special Olympics Wisconsin. What's great is this is the biggest event that occurs in the state. The biggest number of athletes competing. So many other people who are connected to the cause come. The opening ceremony tonight is really special. Later this week.
Yep. Pride Fest is this weekend at the movie theater.
I need Nasty Mike. Bad boy. Ah! What are you doing?
A fight crime, baby.
Bad Boys returns. Will Smith, Martin Lawrence. This is the first Bad Boys movie in nearly 30 years, so that returns to the big screen. The Watchers as well, starring Dakota Fanning. And how about this? The Final Spin. Pat Sajak's final run as host of Wheel of Fortune is Friday.
That's it. That's his last show.
It's already been taped.
I feel like we've been talking about this for a long time.
They call it The Final Spin.
Do we
this
know who's
time,
taking over?
It's personal. Ryan Seacrest takes over.
Oh, that's right.
And Vanna is just signed a new deal, so she's around for another couple of years. That is your week ahead.
Definitely about the money. WTMJ Annex Wealth Management Market Update. I find things here. Host of Brewers Extra Innings, Dom Catronio, is our guest on Brewers 360 at 7:45.
So the launch was halted again over the weekend. Boeing Starliner. They've been trying to get this thing off the ground for what seems like forever.
And this one's not Boeing's fault, right? They just designed like the capsule, but like this is like...
Yeah, there's a computer issue.
They don't like that.
And to blame, and there's other things. So now the launch is set for Wednesday, and they plan to haul a toilet pump essential to keeping water clean as they head north into the sky.
Mike Fink helped design the space station's plumbing. He says it costs about $5,000 to bring a liter of water up to space. So without the ability to turn wastewater into drinking water, NASA's utility bill would be out of this world.
Any of you who have ever out there that have a swimming pool or even a car, you know, you need to have a pump to recirculate the fluids, and this pump didn't. It broke early, and thank goodness that Starliner was available.
All right, so listen to this. So
good job, Fink.
It's so important that they got to get this water up there, right? Because it's so expensive otherwise, and this will help with everything. Listen to this.
The pump is so important, the astronauts are leaving some luggage behind to make room.
Sorry. That carry-on okay. Too big for the flight. You have to leave that one down. So apparently, according to the manager of the space station program, Dana Weigel, she said that they pulled off two crew suitcases that have clothes in them. So no clothes for you, Mr. and Mrs. Astronaut.
Boy, as big of a space geek as I've always been, I guess I've never heard of astronauts bringing luggage on board. Like, just don't they have that
maybe a
stuff?
Book, right? Maybe an iPad.
A couple of suits, you know, a spare suit.
And do I bring the extra pair of pants? I never know what this type of weather. Do I bring the long sleeve?
What if we go out, like for a fancy dinner?
Yeah.
Like,
how many fancy dinners are we doing? Yeah. We're going to the Caribbean, for Christ's sake.
Are they out there? They got like a suitcase of shoes. I want my nice shoes.
Are we really going out to eat at the space station?
But towels. Do they have towels? 7:38. News is sponsored by Annex Wealth Management's Money Talk. That's heard Saturdays at 10, right here on WTMJ.
I just want to scream.
Hey, we can listen to the whole song.
Okay, I'm sorry. You're waiting on me. I'm sorry.
I was happy. That's fine. Great song.
Do you know how much your teenagers are consuming caffeine?
I mean, what they so they like these bubbler drinks, which are actually made in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. And better for you than your standard soda.
I'd rather have them drinking that than soda or, you know, the $7 frou-frou.
Yeah.
cappuccino, mocha, you know, frappe, whatever the hell they get right at Starbucks.
The bubblers are hot at our house, too. So a new study involving parents with kids aged 13 through 18 and how much caffeine is being consumed.
Pouring your kid a cup of coffee? In a new poll, 23% of parents with teenagers say caffeine is a regular part of their child's life. Numbers from the C.S. Mott Children's Hospital show the most common sources are soda, tea, coffee, and energy drinks. The majority of kids, 81%, get their jolt at home. Experts suggest a limit of the equivalent of about an 8-ounce cup of coffee or 2 12-ounce sodas a day. They say overconsumption can affect a teenager's mood, sleep, and school performance, plus lead to side effects like headache, upset stomach, and heart palpitations. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
I think we all are dealing with that, actually, yeah, from right. All the caffeine. For us, I'll always push like Sprite or ginger ale or something on my kids versus like a Coke.
Lot of sugar, but no caffeine. Yeah,
yes, if they're going to need or asking for something like that. But oof, that's a lot of caffeine.
Well, when you get the double dose of the caffeine and the sugar, then it's yeesh.
Experts suggesting 2 soda cans a day. That seems like a lot to me.
Yeah, right. If you can keep them down to one or maybe none, if it stays a treat, that's
maybe
good.
A couple a week at most.
Brewers 360 coming up next.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
Brewers knock off those feisty Chicago White Sox, sweep the series, got a big one coming up next against the Philadelphia Phillies, and you can bet that these two
savages
will be in the lineup, Willie Adames and William Contreras.
Brewers 360 is sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. We have host of Brewers Extra Innings, Dom Catronio, live with us this morning. Dom, caught the front end of the program yesterday following that great win by the Crew. I want to get more into your analysis about that sacrifice attempt by the Sox and the hard out at home plate in a moment. But first on Brewers manager Pat Murphy calling his guys, William Contreras and Willie Adames,
savages.
Said those two came to him. They were supposed to get a scheduled day off on Sunday and they demanded to play.
That's exactly how it went. And honestly, when I was in the clubhouse yesterday and I saw the lineup, and we get to see the lineup before it's actually publicly posted. And I'm like, oh, wow, okay, both of them. You know, I had said on Thursday on my show on Brewers Weekly saying, okay, look, let's be honest with each other for a second here. It's the White Sox, and you don't want to disrespect anybody, but let's be real. They got 15 wins. So if there's ever a day for William, your primary catcher, heading into maybe your biggest series to date with the Phillies coming up, like, hey, this could be a good spot for him to get a day off. So I wasn't shocked by William. I was shocked by Adames getting the day off. And like you said, they stormed into the office. Murph waited for a moment and said, you know what, yeah, I'm going to put you guys in. And obviously, they didn't have the biggest games. They weren't massive factors in the decision, but these guys want to play every single game.
Contreras almost had a home run. He hit one to the wall that was robbed, you could argue. The other big angle of the game from yesterday that we've been talking about, Dom, is the whole situation with Tommy Pham. Tommy Pham, the outfielder from the White Sox, getting called out at home in an attempt to tie the game late, top of the eighth when that happened. It was a double play. He was out, clearly out. He admitted after the game, no, I was out. But he was PO'd at Contreras for the yapping after he was tagged.
Okay, yapping's a bit much. I think with what William did there and what Tommy did there. So here's the thing. If you're expecting the runner to truck you like old school, like we used to see in the 80s and 90s, that's literally illegal now. You can't do that. So one thing you can do to try to break up a play like that is do exactly what Tommy Pham did. Everything that Tommy did was perfectly legal, including running on the grass, including sliding straight into William. William gave him a path that he could have used, but Tommy chose not to use that path, risk himself injury, and sliding, you're allowed to slide, into the catcher to try to break up the tag. It obviously didn't work. William knew that. Tommy knew that. William saying, wow, I gave you all this path and you still chose to slide into me. Did you really think I was going to drop this ball? Celebrated. Went back to the dugout. If you're mad about somebody celebrating, don't give them a reason to celebrate. Don't make the mistake. He was clearly out. And I'm fine with the play. It's a good old school hard baseball play. I'm mad at Tommy's reaction because, dude, you knew what was coming.
Nah, we ain't taking that. We ain't taking that from the Brewers. I don't care how many L's we got this year. We ain't taking that.
That's NBC Sports Chicago with the call as it was happening.
And I, sounds like yeah. they took it, Dom.
Look, this is John Schifrin's first year in the booth. Yeah, I'm going to take the high road and just say no comments on all of that went down there because, yeah, no comment.
Hey, so this is all well and good. You know, you swept the Sox as well you should have, hard right, as they battled. Right. Now we got Philadelphia, and this is going to be a much tougher test for the crew on the road.
It's a tougher test for the crew, but keep in mind, it's also a tough test for the Phillies. The Phillies have had literally the easiest schedule in baseball to this point. They have only played a team above 500 six times. Six. That's it. So here we are. Big chance for both teams to prove themselves. For the Phillies, who have the best record in the National League, no, our record's legit. And for the Brewers, first place in the Central, starting to pull away a little bit. Like, no, we're legit. Reese's return. Don't lose sight of that. I know it's a big series. This is going to be really emotional for Reese Hoskins and his wife, Jamie. They're really excited to get back to Philly, where he obviously started his career, was a homegrown player. Never really got the chance to say goodbye to Philly, so this is his chance for that.
5:40, first pitch tonight in Philadelphia. Thanks, Dom.
See you, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Mark Tauscher up next on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Idea Man.
Who wants to spell spondy?
I'm going to try it.
Innovator.
S-P-O-N-D-E-E with one of those little deals on the top of it. Spondy. Right.
And Packers Hall of Famer.
Let's see if that's accurate.
Spondy. S-P-O-N-D-E-E. Spondy.
That is correct.
Very good.
Let's go.
Yes. You and Aiden.
Let's go.
Page.
It's time for Tausch on Wisconsin's Morning News. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and Kohler Services.
Mark Tauscher on Wisconsin's Morning News is sponsored by Kohler Services.
Hey, Tausch. Curious your take on the Caitlin Clark situation. So Caitlin Clark, for those who may not know or may recognize the name and not keep up with WNBA sports, she is the phenom rookie for the Indiana Fever. She played for Iowa in women's basketball, college basketball, did very well, obviously holds a million records in college basketball for scoring and whatnot. She's getting a lot of hard fouls. Lots of hard fouls, and there was one over the weekend against the Chicago Sky where it was not basketball-related at all. She was just pushed to the ground, basically, and there's some outrage now. People upset, others saying this is not okay, others saying you're hurting the league by going after her. But is this just par for the course? When you're a rookie phenom, do you expect to kind of have the focus on you? The veteran players are going to maybe put a dig on you or put a target on you once or twice?
Yeah, I mean, listen, when she was at Iowa and playing, you heard a bunch of the former Connecticut players that are in the WNBA tell you, hey, it's going to be different. And I think we all want Caitlin Clark to, bring the WNBA to new heights. And, they have already revenue and attendance, and they're all flying on chartered planes now instead of going commercial. There's a ton of positives that come with it. But I just look at it and I think, all right, if this was in the NBA, do we all remember what the Detroit Pistons did to Michael Jordan back in the late 80s and 90s? Do we remember, all of the, when rookies come into the league, it ain't going to just be roll out the red carpet. Now, is there a line there where if you're, doing things illegally and trying to hurt people? I mean, Bill Laimbeer tried to kill Michael Jordan. Now, do we want that? No. But I think there's obviously some envy and a little jealousy by some of the established WNBA stars. And I think they've made it a kind of a league-wide thing to say, let's not make it easy on Caitlin Clark. And so I think this is where the league has to understand she is great for us. She is great for revenue. How do you balance that with, the competitive side of it? Because sports inherently, it is, I want to beat you into submission. And if you're doing it within the confines of the game, I don't think anybody has a problem. Some of the stuff, and the one that, Eric, that you're kind of bringing up, she was just going to get the ball, and she just went, and it was almost like a hockey check that they did. So there's a fine line, but if she's going in for a layup and you're not going to give her a layup, I don't have any problem with it. It's the cheap stuff that's not within the play. The actual playing of the game is what I think is bothering people. And the WNBA will get a hold of it and fix it because they know she is fantastic for the league, and you have to protect, just like in the NFL, they used to be, we're going to crush Brett Favre, we're going to kill Troy Aikman, and now if you breathe on Patrick Mahomes the wrong way, you're suspended for 2 weeks.
Well, I went down the wormhole on social media on this one, Tausch, and there's a lot of race stuff floating around there as well. Arguments about whether or not she's risen to the level of success because of her race, or that she's being targeted because of her race, or vice versa. And that's an ugly spot, but sports is a microcosm of society. That will continue to be something that follows this story as it develops.
For sure. I mean, that's the beauty of sports, and that's why I think it's so relatable to everybody, because but what it really comes down to is, you know, are you helping the team? Can you play? And I think the issue is, do I think that there's some WNBA stars that think she gets great treatment because she's white? Absolutely. But then the other question is she a really good player? And I don't think anybody could argue she's a great shooter. I saw the gal that checked her said, well, what else can she do? She's got a ton of assists. She's a great player. And I think there's that little bit of a weeding out process. You also want young players to establish themselves and understand this is going to be a lot more difficult than when you go to Piscataway and are playing Rutgers. Like, it's just going to be a lot more difficult to be consistently great. And I think that's that battle line that's going. But there's no doubt when you want to start looking at the big picture on things, I think Caitlin Clark is looked at in a certain way by a lot of the WNBA stars, and they don't like what she's all about.
Are we going to see you today? Are you coming to the WTMJ Classic?
I'm on my way right now, babe. Nice. I am heading to Delavan for the WTMJ Classic. We'll be doing Wildy and Tausch from there at 9 o'clock.
Look forward to it. Thanks, Tausch.
You double gloving? Vinny, is it double gloved?
I never double gloved, only in the rain. I don't know how I got that rep.
You're killing me, man. I never double gloved.
Goodbye.
See ya.